What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
It is 12:07, and you are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. I'm also hanging out at the Rondo Library right on the corner of University and Dale. Now, listen, I don't know what you got going on today, but if you want to meet me down here, my son Andrew is getting ready to do a reading of his book, Andrew Does His Dance, to several dozen children. And here's the amazing part about this particular book reading: free lunch, free snacks by Nosh Posh. We've got Chipotle, and we've got coloring activities. We've got builder blocks. We've got Jenga. We've got all kinds of crafts you can do. This is an amazing community event, and I am so honored that Dr. Artika Tyner and her Leaders Are Readers program, put on by Planning People Growing Justice, invited us to be a part of this. So get on down here, Rondo Community Library, right on the corner of University and Dale. We are eating. I don't want to take all this Chipotle home. I really don't. We got rice. We got chicken. We've got beef. We've got veggies. Tatiana is here with Nosh Posh. She's got free snacks for the kids. And also, they're giving away books. 40 books from 40 different authors are available, and they are giving them away. Again, this is at the Rondo Library. We're here until about 1:30, 2 o'clock. My son Andrew's getting ready to do a book reading of his new book, Andrew Does His Dance. And if you're looking for something free and fun for you and your kids to do and lunch, honey, this is the hottest ticket in town. Y'all better get on down here. We got a few more seats left. And when you pass by, make sure you wave, because they got me over in a timeout and a secure room on the side so I could see people going, hey, all right now. I could see people walking in, but I can't participate until the commercial break. So come on down. We'd love to see you. Now, one thing I love to see is people doing good in the hood. When we moved back to the Twin Cities after being in Houston because my kids had autism and they didn't have good services there, people kept saying, move to Cottage Grove. Great Cloud Elementary School has an autism program. And I was like, okay, that's 45 minutes from my church. I don't want to live way out there. I don't know nobody out there. But I have to tell y'all, since moving to Cottage Grove, I know that it is the best decision that I could have made for me and my family, because there are some great and amazing people there. And there's also some great and amazing programs. I found out this week that there is a community garden in Cottage Grove. No lie. It's a new community garden in College Grove. It opened just this past Thursday, and it was a project initiated by the residents of the immigrant community. And they wanted to be able to grow, their own plants and vegetables and things that they enjoy eating, culturally relevant food. And this is to foster mental and physical well-being. And the gardeners from many diverse backgrounds use this space to grow not just produce, but also relationships and community and connections. And I thought, this is a model for the rest of the country. I'd never heard of anything like this. I've heard of community gardens, but not one where it's so specific and delves into people who are from other countries where they cannot find the foods they grew up eating and love. They can plant those in this garden and feel a sense of home, but also educate those of us who may have never been to their home country, right? And so I said, okay, I want to talk more about this. I want to let people know about this because as a resident of Cottage Grove in Washington County, I am so proud of this initiative. And the one thing that I love most about it is it's community led. And so I said, let me invite Maggie Nubisi. She is joining us now, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Maggie, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Hi, Shaletta. Thanks for having me.
Now, you have lived here in Cottage Grove for 21 years. Girl, you make me feel like a newbie. And so this garden is special because, you know, it's specifically by and for the African migrant community. And the community is using the space to grow produce and to help reduce food scarcity. Talk to me about that.
First off, I just want to clarify, the garden is not specifically for African migrant communities.
Okay.
It's open to everyone. We have gardeners of African descent. We have Asian. We have South American. It's global. Okay.
Oh, this is
so
beautiful.
Yes. It's not specifically for Africans. Yes.
And so talk to me about how this all came about.
This all came about because some of us have seen other community gardens that other people have put together, but there was nothing specific about immigrants. So we started thinking, there's a community organizer who is really trying to, you know, bring the communities together, but also bridge the gap between communities and local governments, right? So I got invited with the idea of, well, how about if we create a community garden in Cottage Grove, then we can, in addition to growing the foods, we can also mm-hmm. bring the immigrant communities together. So that's how the idea came about. And I was invited to be part of the planning committee. So I was there from the beginning, meeting, developing even the plan for the garden, how we wanted it to be, how we would get the space, and just get all the players involved. So that was how this whole thing came about. And we had a team of 7 planners. And it involved 2 planners of Kenyan background, 2 Cameroonian, and the other 3 native-born Americans. We have a master gardener, and we have Alicia from the Washington County.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole thing involved everybody, the community members leading the charge with the communities, but also have the local authorities, the city of Cottage Grove and Washington County also involved, which I think it was really helpful for us.
This is amazing. And it's at Meadowgrass Community Garden. That's at 6950 Meadowgrass Avenue in Cottage Grove. And it's open through mid-October. I'm planning to visit with my kids this week. And I understand you've got 40 plots. Can you share a bit more about the garden and the setup? And who's going to be taking care of this to make sure that we have it around so that when my kids are older, if they decide to stay in Cottage Grove, it'll still be there for them?
Yeah, listen, I can assure you that as long as there will be gardeners to garden, the community garden is going to exist. And if I have my way, this is just the beginning, Shaletta. This is just one garden. So I think there's opportunity for other gardens to happen, not only in Cottage Grove, but in other cities.
Yes.
As we are rallying communities, and I think The Cottage Grove Community Garden is kind of like a pilot program because we have gardeners, not only from Cottage Grove, and that's the beauty of it all, right? So we have gardeners from other neighboring cities who are gardening there, and we believe that they can bring this example to their own cities and also be able to create gardens in their cities, community gardens in their cities. And this may just be the beginning of a new trend within the Twin Cities, right? So I think it's a good idea. And if your kids, I believe that this garden is here to stay, simply put.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And what I need to know is what are you going to cook? Okay, because this is the thing. We talk about gardening, that's great, but what are we eating when it's all said and done? I'm coming to your house. I want to know what you're planting so I can know what we're going to eat later.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I am from Cameroon, right? And in Cameroon, we have certain types of vegetables. We have what we call greens. It is a specific kind of green. And then we have bitter leaves. It has a little bitter taste to it. That's where its name comes from. We have what is called huckleberry, or in our native language, it's called njamanjama. It's a kind of green. And then we have water leaf. It's almost like a spinach. And then we have melon plants. So if you come to my house, you be sure that, you know, this is June now. By the end of this month, beginning of next month, Shaleta, whatever you want, if it's greens, njamanjama, bitter leaf, I can serve you. And that is the beauty of the community garden. You get to grow the foods that you grew up eating, just like other people from other cultures. They grow their own vegetables. They grow their fruits that they grew up eating and loving. And I think it just makes us, even though we are not home, but it brings back the homeland to us. And I think it's a very healthy way for us as immigrants living here to reconnect with the homeland, right? But also to introduce other people to our food. So you are welcome anytime. Just let me know, and I'll make sure I have one of my Cameroonian vegetables prepared for you.
Baby, I can't wait. June can't come soon enough, but until then, I want y'all to get out there and check out the Meadowgrass Community Garden. It's at 6950 Meadowgrass Avenue in Cottage Grove, where me and my family live. It's open through mid-October. Even if you don't live in Cottage Grove, it is just a sight to see how people from diverse backgrounds are coming together to share, to connect, to communicate, to love on one another through planting, through growing, through connecting. And this is definitely going to be a model for other communities as well. And so I'm so glad you took some time to talk to me today. We've been chatting with Maggie Nubisi. She's been joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Maggie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Shaleta.
All right. And you all stick around. We've got more to come. We were supposed to be celebrating. The summer block party kickoff in downtown Minneapolis was supposed to happen, but of course it's been postponed. Our city's in mourning right now because we've had a police officer who was shot and killed in the line of duty. I don't even know what to say. I'm heartbroken for the family of police officer Jamal Mitchell, 36 years young, was among the first officers to arrive and was aiding two people he believed to be wounded when one of them ambushed him, according to the Minneapolis Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. Suspected shooter, dead. My prayers are with everyone in the Whittier neighborhood. the first police officer to be shot and killed in the line of duty in more than 20 years. And I'm on my scrolling through my social media, and I see pictures of Officer Mitchell in schools, talking to kids, out in community, passing out supplies, toys, reading books. I'm seeing officers and community members say what an amazing public servant he was. He was a father and had a fiance. Wanna know what kind of man he was before his life was tragically taken? He and his partner ran into a burning house in Southwest Minneapolis to save an elderly couple during a fire. And that was his first week on the job. He got a medal for his bravery and was featured. I don't know if y'all remember this. He was featured on CNN's Beyond the Call of Duty. That's the kind of man he was. And I don't want us to lose sight of that. You know, a lot of times we see the headlines and we read the story, and we forget that this man had a fiance and children and an impact that he left on his community. People grew up with him. They love and know him. He made a difference. And I want to make sure that we remember him for that. We will never forget how he died, but I want us to make sure we remember how he lived. It's so sad. This is the 11th time in less than 14 months that law enforcement officers have been killed or wounded by gunfire in or near Minnesota. At some point, more than thoughts and prayers are needed. Legislation is needed. Gun control is needed. Stricter enforcements are needed. And before y'all get your panties in a bunch, nobody's trying to take away anybody's guns. If you can rightfully have them. But how many times have we seen secondary people arrested for buying guns for people who were legally not supposed to have them, or people who were in possession illegally? And the only reason we knew about those stories is because they wound up killing somebody. And here we have a young, dedicated police officer protecting and serving, featured on CNN, doing his job, and he lost his life. You shouldn't die going to work. It shouldn't happen like that. And so our city and our state are grieving right now. Folks are angry. They're hurt. They're in shock. Three people have died. Three people. And still, we got a few answers few answers as to how the sequence of events happened. Thursday, in the Whittier neighborhood. Officer Jamal Mitchell deserves more. He deserves better. He deserves a law. Some legislator listening to this show needs to get out a pen and a piece of paper and start crafting the Jamal Mitchell legislation. Don't send me another news release about anything else until you do your part, lawmakers, to make sure that we don't have another Jamal Mitchell. Do your part. You can't control everything. I can't control everything. None of us can. But if we all do our part, it'll get better. It'll get easier. These officers will be safer. We'll be safer. We don't want this to happen again. And it just, this summer just started. And you and I and everybody knows summer is a time of year where things get hectic and chaotic. And this is not how we want to kick things off. We want our officers to be safe. We want our community to be safe. We want our leaders to be safe. But it starts with us. You say, well, what am I going to do? What do you want me to do? If you're not a legislator, call your legislator and ask them what they're doing. Is that enough? No, but it's a start. It's a start. It's a start. It's better than sitting there talking about, well, isn't this horrible? And then moving on. Isn't this horrible? And then going on to the next thing. Have we gotten so numb that we turn a blind eye to an officer being shot and killed in the line of duty who wasn't even 40 years old, had a fiance and was a father? Somebody who ran into a house, was featured on CNN and already received a medal. That was his first week on the job. Imagine what he would have accomplished had his life not been cut short. So figure out what it is that you're going to do. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Judy Seeberger. She is my representative. I'm in Cottage Grove. I'm going to send her a letter. I'm also going to make a donation. There have been several groups representing law enforcement officers who have announced a donation platform for contributing directly to Officer Mitchell's family. Now, the press release that I have from the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis Law Enforcement Labor Services and Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association. That is the only platform verified by the city of Minneapolis and Officer Mitchell's family. So if you get a call from anybody else, and it is not the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis Law Enforcement Labor Services and Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, that money may or may not go to Officer Mitchell's family. But I'm going to give you a web address online where you can go. And this is the link that includes information about how to donate online as well as a check through the mail, because I know some of us don't go online and that's okay. It is LELS.org/benevolent-fund. LELS.org/benevolent-fund. That is where you can go. That is how you can help. That is how you can bless Officer Mitchell's family, including his children. We'll be back. Y'all know my motto. I want everybody to win. I want to win. I want you to win. I want you to win. I want her to win. I want everybody to reach their best level and their next level of success. And, you know, for so long, especially for women, because of the gatekeepers and because of the limitations that were placed, the roadblocks that were up, they would only let one in. There's only one Katie Couric, can't be another one. There's only one Oprah, can't be another one. And so oftentimes women, we looked at each other as if we were competition. Because if she's got it, then that means that I can't have it. Or if I have it, I'm not going to be able to help her because, you know, she might take my spot. Look, her spot is not your spot. Her spot is her spot. Your spot is your spot. And so we have to understand and know that as women, especially women in business, we have to work together and come together to support one another, knowing that if one of us succeeds, then all of us are successful. Right. And so I was so excited to find out that Women Winning is having their annual luncheon on Monday. And I am surely going to be there. It is from 9 to noon. It is the 42nd annual luncheon. It's at the Renaissance Depot in downtown Minneapolis. And I am so excited to have Nevada Little Wolf joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline to talk about the mission of Women Winning and coming together. And oh my God, the procession of women that are going to be there. This is an amazing event for all of us to participate in, because when women win, we all win. Nevada, thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me on.
Now, this is the 42nd annual luncheon. I was there last year. Girl, did I host it last year? I think I might have hosted this thing last year. It was the year before that. One of them. I think I did.
You hosted it the year that Roe fell. It was probably just a few days after Roe fell and you were there hosting.
I did. I remember that. And one of the things that I remember more than anything is the procession of our elected women leaders coming down, girl, that aisle. You know, it was Carrie Desick. It was Melissa Hortman. It was Claire. It was Amy. It was Tina. It was Peggy. Girl, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. I grew up in a time where there was one Barbara Jordan, you know, coming out of Texas. There was one Ann Richards coming out of Texas. But, you know, here's this line of amazing female elected leaders. And, you know, that goes back to what I was talking about earlier is, you know, when women come together, there's nothing that we cannot do. I just need to know who thought that was a good idea, because that was a great idea.
Yeah, well, Women Winning has been doing this work in Minnesota since 1982, so over 40 years. And we are working to elect pro-choice women to all levels of office, public office in Minnesota. So that is local office, state office, federal office, and tribal office. Because of this long-standing history of working to elect pro-choice women, that is how we arrive at having the wonderful procession that we see every year at the annual luncheon. And this year is no different. We will see over 100 candidates and elected officials walking in that procession on Monday morning.
And Women Winning is so specific in the work that you do to help women. And so I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that mission of how you bring women together to support one another.
Yeah, I think that right now, especially, you know, as I mentioned in talking about your time with us at the luncheon, coming in, you know, 3-4 days after the Dobbs decision and the rollback of our reproductive rights in the country, the rights and the protections that we had under the Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade. I think that in the last 3 years, we have really seen extremist attacks on our reproductive rights and our ability as women and birthing people to make decisions about reproduction and our own health care. We have been really fortunate, again, I think really largely due to the work of Women Winning in Minnesota, to have those protections and those rights retained. And that's because of our amazing candidates that we have, both at the local level and the state level. Right now, it is the first time in the history of Minnesota that we have a pro-choice trifecta, which means we have a pro-choice House, a pro-choice Senate, and a pro-choice governor's office. And of course, this year, all of the seats for the state House of Representatives are on the ballot. And it's vitally important to us to continue to elect women and to continue to elect folks who are going to be protecting those reproductive rights for all birthing people.
And, you know, for those folks who cannot get to the event on Monday, how can they support the work that you're doing?
Absolutely. You can go to our website, womenwinning.org, and make a donation. You could sign up to volunteer. You can sign up for our website. You can follow us on our social media channels for look for us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and just, you know, in general, if you see any events coming up in the future, show up, come out, spend some time with us. We'd be happy to connect you with our endorsed candidates so that you can work on campaigns and really help change the face of power in Minnesota and make sure that we are electing women to public office.
Well, it is good to see, and people are looking at Minnesota as a model across the country when they look at our women leaders. And, you know, how we have made gains and changes in the legislature, the way we have come together across parties to do amazing things in this state, including maintaining women's liberty with regard to their own bodies and their reproductive health. So I just can't thank you enough for the work that you are doing and how you support the women legislators, because leadership is lonely, and to have an organization like this supporting these elected women leaders means so much to them. The pride on their faces as they walk through and were applauded and were appreciated and were validated and were celebrated is not something that our women leaders get. And you give that to them in a very public and grand space. And I mean, I get chills just thinking about what it looked like when I saw it for the first time. And I can't even imagine what they felt like receiving it. So thank you so much for celebrating our leaders.
Shaletta, thank you. I mean, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, if you haven't gotten your ticket to the luncheon, there's still time. We have a few seats left before we sell out. In addition to seeing the amazing procession, we also have U.S. Senator LaFonza Butler, who will be our featured speaker. She is coming in from California, and she's the former president of Emily's List and also the former president of California SEIU. We also have, this is just breaking news, we have Amanda Zarosky from Texas, who's going to really talk about her own experiences in Texas after the abortion ban that took place there. Very compelling story, really important for folks to understand what it means for people to have the right to have children, but also make that decision not to have children. And for birthing people who have children to raise their children in safe and healthy environments. And those are the things that Women Winning really works for. Those are our values. We're really proud to do this work, and we're really excited about the event on Monday. So I'm going to see you there, Shaletta, and I hope I see
yes.
others as well.
Yes, thank you so much for this work, for celebrating our leaders, for protecting our women, for being on the front line. I just appreciate that, and for you being on this show. We'll be right back. It is just so amazing. I am sitting here at the Rondo Library looking at my kids play with children from all over the world. This library is in historic Rondo community on the corner of University and Dale, and right on the light rail. And today my son Andrew did a book reading of his new book, Andrew Does His Dance. And we had free Chipotle. We had snacks from Nosh Posh that were complimentary. And we were in a back room at the Rondo Library. And so many people came to hear my son read his book and to take pictures and to eat lunch with us. And it was just amazing to see all the different cultures. My daughter was playing with children from Ethiopia and Somalia. A Hmong man brought his sons, and we hung out and we enjoyed each other's company and we learned about each other's cultures, and it was just beautiful. And so right now, the event is still going on, and I'm sitting in a kind of a quiet space, right? It's glass, and I'm just looking out and I'm watching these kids play together. And there is no racism. There is no bigotry. There is no gatekeeping. There's just love. That's the lesson that we can learn from our children today. How to love each other the right way. Let's do that today. We'll be back.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season two. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:07, and you are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. I'm also hanging out at the Rondo Library right on the corner of University and Dale. Now, listen, I don't know what you got going on today, but if you want to meet me down here, my son Andrew is getting ready to do a reading of his book, Andrew Does His Dance, to several dozen children. And here's the amazing part about this particular book reading: free lunch, free snacks by Nosh Posh. We've got Chipotle, and we've got coloring activities. We've got Build-A-Blocks. We've got Jenga. We've got all kinds of crafts you can do. This is an amazing community event, and I am so honored that Dr. Artika Tyner and her Leaders Are Readers program, put on by Planning People Growing Justice, invited us to be a part of this. So get on down here, Rondo Community Library, right on the corner of University and Dale. We are eating. I don't want to take all this Chipotle home. I really don't. We got rice. We got chicken. We've got beef. We've got veggies. Tatiana is here with Nosh Posh. She's got free snacks for the kids. And also, they're giving away books. 40 books from 40 different authors are available, and they are giving them away. Again, this is at the Rondo Library. We're here until about 1:30, 2 o'clock. My son Andrew's getting ready to do a book reading of his new book, Andrew Does His Dance. And if you're looking for something free and fun for you and your kids to do and lunch, honey, this is the hottest ticket in town. Y'all better get on down here. We got a few more seats left. And when you pass by, make sure you wave, because they got me over in a timeout and a secure room on the side, so I could see people going, hey, all right now. I could see people walking in, but I can't participate until the commercial break. So come on down. We'd love to see you. Now, one thing I love to see is people doing good in the hood. When we moved back to the Twin Cities after being in Houston, because my kids had autism and they didn't have good services there, people kept saying, move to Cottage Grove. Great Cloud Elementary School has an autism program. And I was like, okay, that's 45 minutes from my church. I don't want to live way out there. I don't know nobody out there. But I have to tell y'all, since moving to Cottage Grove, I know that it is the best decision that I could have made for me and my family, because there are some great and amazing people there. And there's also some great and amazing programs. I found out this week that there is a community garden in Cottage Grove. No lie. It's a new community garden in College Grove. It opened just this past Thursday, and it was a project initiated by the residents of the immigrant community. And they wanted to be able to grow, their own plants and vegetables and things that they enjoy eating, culturally relevant food. And this is to foster, mental and physical well-being. And the gardeners from many diverse backgrounds use this space to grow not just produce, but also relationships and community and connections. And I thought, this is a model for the rest of the country. I'd never heard of anything like this. I've heard of community gardens, but not one where it's so specific and delves into people who are from other countries where they cannot find the foods they grew up eating and love. They can plant those in this garden and feel a sense of home, but also educate those of us who may have never been to their home country, right? And so I said, okay, I want to talk more about this. I want to let people know about this because as a resident of Cottage Grove in Washington County, I am so proud of this initiative. And the one thing that I love most about it is it's community led. And so I said, let me invite Maggie Nubisi. She is joining us now, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Maggie, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Hi, Shaletta. Thanks for having me.
Now, you have lived here in Cottage Grove for 21 years. Girl, you make me feel like a newbie. And so this garden is special because, you know, it's specifically by and for the African migrant community. And the community is using the space to grow produce and to help reduce food scarcity. Talk to me about that.
First off, I just want to clarify, the garden is not specifically for African migrant communities.
Okay.
It's open to everyone. We have gardeners of African descent. We have Asian. We have South American. It's global, okay?
Oh, this is beautiful.
Yes. It's not specifically for Africans, yes.
And so talk to me about how this all came about.
This all came about because some of us have seen other community gardens that other people have put together, but there was nothing specific about immigrants. So we started thinking, there's a community organizer who is really trying to, you know, bring the communities together, but also bridge the gap between communities and local governments, right? So I got invited with the idea of, well, how about if we create a community garden in Cottage Grove, then we can, in addition to growing the foods, we can also mm-hmm. bring the immigrant communities together. So that's yes. how the idea came about.
And I was invited to be part of the planning committee. So I was there from the beginning, meeting, developing even the plan for the garden, how we wanted it to be, how we would get the space, and just get all the players involved. So that was how this whole thing came about. And we had a team of 7 planners. And
wow.
It involved 2 planners of Kenyan background, 2 Cameroonian, and the other 3 native-born Americans. We have a master gardener, and we have Alicia from the Washington County.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole thing involved everybody, the community members leading the charge with the communities, but also have the local authorities, the city of Cottage Grove, and Washington County also involved, which I think it was really helpful for us.
This is amazing. And it's at Meadowgrass Community Garden. That's at 6950 Meadowgrass Avenue in Cottage Grove. And it's open through mid-October. I'm planning a visit with my kids this week. And I understand you've got 40 plots. Can you share a bit more about the garden and the setup? And who's going to be taking care of this to make sure that we have it around so that when my kids are older, if they decide to stay in Cottage Grove, it'll still be there for them?
Yeah, listen, I can assure you that as long as there will be gardeners to garden, the community garden is going to exist. And if I have my way, this is just the beginning, Shaletta. This is just one garden. So I think there's opportunity for other gardens to happen, not only in Cottage Grove, but in other cities.
Yes.
As we are rallying communities, and I think the Cottage Grove Community Garden is kind of like a pilot program because we have gardeners not only from Cottage Grove, and that's the beauty of it all, right? So we have gardeners from other neighboring cities who are gardening there, and we believe that they can bring this example to their own cities and also be able to create gardens in their cities, community gardens in their cities. And this may just be the beginning of a new trend within the Twin Cities, right? So I think it's a good idea. And if your kids, I believe that this garden is here to stay, simply put.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And what I need to know is what are you going to cook? Okay, because this is the thing. We talk about gardening, that's great, but what are we eating when it's all said and done? I'm coming to your house. I want to know what you're planting so I can know what we're going to eat later.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I am from Cameroon, right? And in Cameroon, we have certain types of vegetables. We have what we call greens. It is a specific kind of green. And then we have bitter leaves. It has a little bitter taste to it. That's where its name comes from. We have what is called huckleberry, or in our native language, it's called jamanjama. It's a kind of green. And then we have water leaf. It's almost like a spinach. And then we have melon plants. So if you come to my house, you be sure that, you know, this is June now. By the end of this month, beginning of next month, Shaletta, whatever you want, if it's greens, jamanjama, bitter leaf, I can serve you. And
ooh,
that is the beauty of the community garden. You get to grow the foods that you grew up eating, just like other people from other cultures. They grow their own vegetables. They grow their fruits that they grew up eating and loving. And I think it just makes us, even though we are not home, but it brings back the homeland to us. And I think it's a very healthy way for us as immigrants living here to reconnect with the homeland, right? But also to introduce other people to our food. So you are welcome anytime. Just let me know, and I'll make sure I have one of my Cameroonian vegetables prepared for you.
Baby, I can't wait. June can't come soon enough, but until then, I want y'all to get out there and check out the Meadowgrass Community Garden. It's at 6950 Meadowgrass Avenue in Cottage Grove, where me and my family live. It's open through mid-October. Even if you don't live in Cottage Grove, it is just a sight to see how people from diverse backgrounds are coming together to share, to connect, to communicate, to love on one another through planting, through growing, through connecting. And this is definitely going to be a model for other communities as well. And so I'm so glad you took some time to talk to me today. We've been chatting with Maggie Nubisi. She's been joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Maggie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Shaletta.
All right. And you all stick around. We've got more to come. We were supposed to be celebrating. The summer block party kickoff in downtown Minneapolis was supposed to happen, but of course it's been postponed. Our city is in mourning right now because we've had a police officer who was shot and killed in the line of duty. I don't even know what to say. I'm heartbroken for the family of police officer Jamal Mitchell, 36 years young, was among the first officers to arrive and was aiding two people he believed to be wounded when one of them ambushed him, according to the Minneapolis Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. Suspected shooter, dead. My prayers are with everyone in the Whittier neighborhood. The first police officer to be shot and killed in the line of duty, and more than 20 years. And I'm on my scrolling through my social media, and I see pictures of Officer Mitchell in schools, talking to kids, out in community, passing out supplies, toys, reading books. I'm seeing officers and community members say what an amazing public servant he was. He was a father and had a fiance. Wanna know what kind of man he was before his life was tragically taken? He and his partner ran into a burning house in Southwest Minneapolis to save an elderly couple during a fire. And that was his first week on the job. He got a medal for his bravery and was featured, I don't know if y'all remember this, he was featured on CNN's Beyond the Call of Duty. That's the kind of man he was. And I don't want us to lose sight of that. You know, a lot of times we see the headlines and we read the story and we forget that this man had a fiance and children and an impact that he left on his community. People grew up with him. They love and know him. He made a difference. And I want to make sure that we remember him for that. We will never forget how he died, but I want us to make sure we remember how he lived. It's so sad. This is the 11th time in less than 14 months that law enforcement officers have been killed or wounded by gunfire in or near Minnesota. at some point, more than thoughts and prayers are needed. Legislation is needed. Gun control is needed. Stricter enforcements are needed. And before y'all get your panties in a bunch, nobody's trying to take away anybody's guns. If you can rightfully have them. But how many times have we seen secondary people arrested for buying guns for people who were legally not supposed to have them? Or people who were in possession illegally? And the only reason we knew about those stories is because they wound up killing somebody. And here we have a young, dedicated police officer protecting and serving, featured on CNN, doing his job, and he lost his life. You shouldn't die going to work. It shouldn't happen like that. And so our city and our state are grieving right now. Folks are angry. They're hurt. They're in shock. Three people have died. Three people. And still, we got a few answers. Few answers as to how the sequence of events happened Thursday in the Whittier neighborhood. Officer Jamal Mitchell deserves more. He deserves better. He deserves a law. Some legislator listening to this show needs to get out a pen and a piece of paper and start crafting the Jamal Mitchell legislation. Don't send me another news release about anything else until you do your part, lawmakers, to make sure that we don't have another Jamal Mitchell. Do your part. You can't control everything. I can't control everything. None of us can. But if we all do our part, it'll get better. It'll get easier. These officers will be safer. We'll be safer. We don't want this to happen again. And it just this summer just started. And you and I and everybody knows summer is a time of year where things get hectic and chaotic. And this is not how we want to kick things off. We want our officers to be safe. We want our community to be safe. We want our leaders to be safe. But it starts with us. You say, well, what am I going to do? What do you want me to do? If you're not a legislator, call your legislator and ask them what they're doing. Is that enough? No, but it's a start. It's a start. It's a start. It's better than sitting there talking about, well, isn't this horrible? And then moving on. Isn't this horrible? And then going on to the next thing. Have we gotten so numb that we turn a blind eye to an officer being shot and killed in the line of duty who wasn't even 40 years old, had a fiance and was a father? Somebody who ran into a house, was featured on CNN and already received a medal. That was his first week on the job. Imagine what he would have accomplished had his life not been cut short. So figure out what it is that you're going to do. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Judy Seeberger. She is my representative. I'm in Cottage Grove. I'm going to send her a letter. I'm also going to make a donation. There have been several groups representing law enforcement officers who have announced a donation platform for contributing directly to Officer Mitchell's family. Now, the press release that I have from the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis Law Enforcement Labor Services and Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association. That is the only platform verified by the city of Minneapolis and Officer Mitchell's family. So if you get a call from anybody else, and it is not the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis Law Enforcement Labor Services and Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, that money may or may not go to Officer Mitchell's family. But I'm going to give you a web address online where you can go. And this is the link that includes information about how to donate online as well as a check through the mail, because I know some of us don't go online, and that's okay. It is LELS.org/benevolent-fund. LELS.org/benevolent-fund. That is where you can go. That is how you can help. That is how you can bless Officer Mitchell's family, including his children. We'll be back. Y'all know my motto. I want everybody to win. I want to win. I want you to win. I want you to win. I want her to win. I want everybody to reach their best level and their next level of success. And, you know, for so long, especially for women, because of the gatekeepers and because of the limitations that were placed, the roadblocks that were up, they would only let one in. There's only one Katie Couric, can't be another one. There's only one Oprah, can't be another one. And so oftentimes women, we looked at each other as if we were competition. Because if she's got it, then that means that I can't have it. Or if I have it, I'm not going to be able to help her because, you know, she might take my spot. Look, her spot is not your spot. Her spot is her spot. Your spot is your spot. And so we have to understand and know that as women, especially women in business, we have to work together and come together to support one another, knowing that if one of us succeeds, then all of us are successful. Right. And so I was so excited to find out that Women Winning is having their annual luncheon on Monday. And I am surely going to be there. It is from 9 to noon. It is the 42nd annual luncheon. It's at the Renaissance Depot in downtown Minneapolis. And I am so excited to have Nevada Little Wolf joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline to talk about the mission of Women Winning and coming together. And, oh, my God, the procession of women that are going to be there. This is an amazing event for all of us to participate in, because when women win, we all win. Nevada, thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me on.
Now, this is the 42nd annual luncheon. I was there last year. Girl, did I host it last year? I think I might have hosted this thing last year, or the year before that. One of them. I think I did.
You hosted it the year that Roe fell. It was probably just a few days after Roe fell and you were there hosting.
I did. I remember that. And one of the things that I remember more than anything is the procession of our elected women leaders coming down, girl, that aisle. You know, it was Carrie DC. It was Melissa Hortman. It was Claire. It was Amy. It was Tina. It was Peggy. Girl, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. I grew up in a time where there was one Barbara Jordan, you know, coming out of Texas. There was one Ann Richards coming out of Texas. But, you know, here's this line of amazing female elected leaders. And, you know, that goes back to what I was talking about earlier is, you know, when women come together, there's nothing that we cannot do. I just need to know who thought that that was a good idea, because that was a great idea.
Yeah, well, Women Winning has been doing this work in Minnesota since 1982, so over 40 years. And we are working to elect pro-choice women to all levels of office, public office in Minnesota. So that is local office, state office, federal office, and tribal office. Because of this long-standing history of working to elect pro-choice women, that is how we arrive at having the wonderful procession that we see every year at the annual luncheon. And this year is no different. We will see over 100 candidates and elected officials walking in that procession on Monday morning.
And Women Winning is so specific in the work that you do to help women. And so I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that mission of how you bring women together to support one another.
Yeah, I think that right now, especially, you know, as I mentioned in talking about your time with us at the luncheon, coming in, you know, 3-4 days after the Dobbs decision and the rollback of our reproductive rights in the country, the rights and the protections that we had under the Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade. I think that in the last 3 years, we have really seen extremist attacks on our reproductive rights and our ability as women and birthing people to make decisions about reproduction and our own health care. We have been really fortunate, again, I think really largely due to the work of Women Winning in Minnesota, to have those protections and those rights retained. And that's because of our amazing candidates that we have, both at the local level and the state level. Right now, it is the first time in the history of Minnesota that we have a pro-choice trifecta, which means we have a pro-choice House, a pro-choice Senate, and a pro-choice governor's office. And of course, this year, all of the seats for the state House of Representatives are on the ballot. And it's vitally important to us to continue to elect women and to continue to elect folks who are going to be protecting those reproductive rights for all birthing people.
And, you know, for those folks who cannot get to the event on Monday, how can they support the work that you're doing?
Absolutely. You can go to our website, womenwinning.org, and make a donation. You could sign up to volunteer. You can sign up for our website. You can follow us on our social media channels for look for us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and just, you know, in general, if you see any events coming up in the future, show up, come out, spend some time with us. We'd be happy to connect you with our endorsed candidates so that you can work on campaigns and really help change the face of power in Minnesota and make sure that we are electing women to public office.
Well, it is good to see, and people are looking at Minnesota as a model across the country when they look at our women leaders. And, you know, how we have made gains and changes in the legislature, the way we have come together across parties to do amazing things in this state, including maintaining women's liberty with regard to their own bodies and their reproductive health. So I just can't thank you enough for the work that you are doing and how you support the women legislators, because leadership is lonely, and to have an organization like this supporting these elected women leaders means so much to them. The pride on their faces as they walk through and were applauded and were appreciated and were validated and were celebrated is not something that our women leaders get And you give that to them in a very public and grand space. And I mean, I get chills just thinking about what it looked like when I saw it for the first time. And I can't even imagine what they felt like receiving it. So thank you so much for celebrating our leaders.
Shaletta. Yeah, Shaletta, thank you. I mean, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, if you haven't gotten your ticket to the luncheon, there's still time. We have a few seats left before we sell out. In addition to seeing the amazing procession, we also have U.S. Senator LaFonza Butler, who will be our featured speaker. She is coming in from, she's from California, and she's the former president of Emily's List and also the former president of California SEIU. We also have, this is just breaking news, we have Amanda Zaroski from Texas, who's going to really talk about her own experiences in Texas after the abortion ban that took place there. Very compelling story, really important for folks to understand what it means for people to have the right to have children, but also make that decision not to have children. And for birthing people who have children to raise their children in safe and healthy environments. And those are the things that Women Winning really works for. Those are our values. We're really proud to do this work, and we're really excited about the event on Monday. So I'm going to see you there, Shaletta, and I hope I see others as well.
Yes, thank you so much for this work, for celebrating our leaders, for protecting our women, for being on the front line. I just appreciate that, and for you being on this show. We'll be right back. It is just so amazing. I am sitting here at the Rondo Library looking at my kids play with children from all over the world. This library is in historic Rondo community on the corner of University and Dale. And right on the light rail. And today my son Andrew did a book reading of his new book, Andrew Does His Dance. And we had free Chipotle. We had snacks from Nosh Posh that were complimentary. And we were in a back room at the Rondo Library. And so many people came to hear my son read his book and to take pictures and to eat lunch with us. And it was just amazing to see all the different cultures. My daughter was playing with children from Ethiopia and Somalia. A Hmong man brought his sons and we hung out and we enjoyed each other's company and we learned about each other's cultures, and it was just beautiful. And so right now, the event is still going on, and I'm sitting in a kind of a quiet space, right? It's glass, and I'm just looking out and I'm watching these kids play together. And there is no racism. There is no bigotry. There is no gatekeeping. It's just love. That's the lesson that we can learn from our children today. How to love each other the right way. Let's do that today. We'll be back.